Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Rachelea Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. The Yom Tov of Chanukah always falls out in the calendar near the Parshios of Vayeshev and Miketz. This year actually it falls out on both Vayeshev and Miketz. So we know that nothing in Yahadus, nothing in Judaism is by chance. And there has to be a reason for this phenomenon, that Chanukah falls out during these Parshios of the year. What is the connection between Chanukah and Parshios Vayeshev and Miketz? I want to present now four answers, four approaches that the Mefarshim give. And if we have time, maybe there'll be a fifth if we have time at the end, but primarily four approaches that are mentioned in the brought down in the Sfarim. Okay. The first approach is based on the Medrash at the beginning of Parshas Miketz. We know in Parshas Miketz, so the Torah says, Miketz Nasayim, after 2 years of Yaakov, of Yosef being in jail, then Paro had a dream. So the Medrash says, this is the Medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Peites. The Medrash says, Vahi Miketz Nasayim, at the end of 2 years, the Medrash quotes, Ketz Sam Lechoshech. This is a Pasuk. This is a pasuk in the Iyov, Perek Kofches. Ketz Sam L'choshech. Hashem put an end, a ketz, to the darkness. Zman Nasan L'Yosef Kama Shonim Ya'aseh Be'afeilu B'veis Hasurim. Hashem had given set aside a certain amount of time for Yosef to be in jail. Kevan Shegiya HaKetz. Once the end of that time came, Chalam Paro Chalom. Paro had a dream. So when the end of the 2 years of Yosef being in jail was up, then Paro had a dream. This Medrash is actually a very, very important. This Medrash is teaching us to view the cause and effect in Parshas Miketz in a different way. Normally, when you read the Chumash, so you say as follows, how did Yosef get out of jail? Well, the cause was Paro had a dream. Paro couldn't figure out his dream. So, the effect that led to the effect that Paro heard about Yosef, and he called Yosef, and he brought Yosef out of jail. So the cause is Paro having a dream, and the effect is Yosef goes free. That's incorrect. This Medrash is saying that's not correct. The Medrash is teaching us Hashem had a plan. Hashem had a plan for how history is supposed to run. Hashem had a plan for Yosef staying in Mitzrayim. Yosef is going to be in jail for a while, then he's going to get out of jail and end up being like the vice president of the Viceroy in Mitzrayim. And because Yosef is in that position, he'll be able to help Yaakov and the brothers and Am Yisrael come down to Mitzrayim and settle in a good way. Hashem had a plan. Hashem wanted Yosef to be in jail for 2 years. And now that 2 years is up, those 2 years are up, so now Paro has a dream. The cause is Hashem wants Yosef out of jail. The effect is Paro had a dream. What's the idea? Hashem, in general, doesn't like to do things in a miraculous way. In general, when Hashem governs Am Yisrael and governs the world, Hashem works within the laws of nature. In general, that's how Hashgacha works. That's how nature works. Hashem governs nature. Hashem governs Hashgacha in the world. Hashem governs everything, but He works within the laws of nature. So Hashem could have taken Yosef out of Mitzrayim any way He wanted to. Hashem could have decided to fly Yosef out of Mitzrayim in a helicopter or something. That would have been a nes nigla. No. Hashem wanted Yosef to leave Mitzrayim in a non-miraculous, working within the laws of nature way. So, the cause, Hashem wants Yosef out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem wants Yosef out of jail. That's the cause. And now, how do you do that without a big miraculous event? Okay, the effect, let's have Paro have a dream, so now Yosef can leave jail in a non-miraculous way. It's a very important medrash. This is what's happening. This medrash is teaching us, this is how we should approach Vayeshev and Miketz. Hashem had a plan for Jewish history. Hashem had a plan for the history of Yosef and Mitzrayim and the brothers, and it was all part of Hashem's master plan. We see it worked out, that Yosef was in a position to help his father Yaakov and the brothers come down to Mitzrayim. Well, so one lesson of these parshios is Hashem governs Hashkacha, Hashem governs world events, and events that appear to be natural, events that appear to be coincidental. It appears coincidental. Paro has a dream, Yosef happens to be in jail, and Yosef wants to cipher the dream, so now you call Yosef. It all appears to be coincidental. No, it's all part of Hashem's plan. That's a major theme of Vayeshev and Miketz, and that's what the Medrash in the beginning of Miketz is emphasizing. This, of course, is one of the major themes of, correct, you guessed it, Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah. One of the major themes of Hanukkah is that events that appear to be natural are really miracles from Hashem. We won the war on Hanukkah. Winning the war was miraculous. Was a miracle. Now, when you win a war, generally speaking, a person who's a little cynical, a person who's a little skeptical, can say, no, it wasn't a miracle, it wasn't from Hashem. Maybe we were smarter, maybe we were braver. So we have to understand, we have to recognize that on Hanukkah, we have to thank Hashem for giving us the military victory. The military victory, which could appear to be natural, was a nes from Hashem. And that's the main thing. The main thing we thank Hashem for on Hanukkah is the military victory. If you look at the Alei Nisim, the Tefillah Alei Nisim that we say in the davening, the primary focus, the almost exclusive focus, is the military victory. That's the Hodah. That's the thank you, Hashem, for the military victory. It saved our lives. The nace of the Pach Shem, the nace of the oil, the supernatural miracle, is not mentioned in the Alei Nisim. In Alei Nisim, we mention, Hidliku Neros B'chatzkos Kachecha. They lit candles out in the Chatzer of the Beis HaMikdash. Most of the Mefarshim assume that's not. The menorah is not lit now. The menorah is not lit in the chatzir. The menorah is lit inside the heichal. That's referring to they lit candles as part of their celebration that they won the war. But it's not that's not the lighting of the menorah. Some say that phrase "Hadliku Neros B'Chatzos Kachecha" refers haka to the lighting of the menorah, and they lit the menorah and brought the menorah out of the heichal into the chatzir to show people the miracle of the oil. But that's the minority view. So either way, either the miracle of the oil is not mentioned at all in the Alei Nisim, or it's mentioned maybe, it might be mentioned in that phrase. The main thrust of the Alei Nisim feeling is, thank you Hashem for winning the war. We recognize it comes from you. So one main theme of Hanukkah is that events that appear to be natural are governed by Hashem. That's exactly what's happening in Vayeshev and Miketz. That's exactly what this Medrash is emphasizing. And that's one shot of the connection, the overlap, the connection between Hanukkah and Vayeshev and Miketz. This is really one of the major themes of Hanukkah. One of the major themes of Hanukkah is that we have this Nes Nigla. We saw the Nes of the Pach Shemen. When a Jew sees the Nes of the Pach Shemen, he has to recognize that from this Nes of the Pach Shemen, I appreciate that all of Teva, all of nature, comes from Hashem. All of world history is governed by Hashem. When a Jew experiences a supernatural event, a Nes Nigla, he has to recognize all of Teva is a Nes Nisa from Hashem. This is there's a famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, where the Ramban develops this theme. The idea is as follows. If you see a Nes Nigla, you see the Nes of the oil. So you say to yourself, well, that means Hashem just changed nature. Something supernatural, changed nature. If Hashem changes nature, if Hashem can change nature, that means Hashem controls nature. If Hashem controls nature, that means when nature runs naturally, quote-unquote, it's all coming from Hashem. So this is one of the themes of Hanukkah. You see the candles. The candles are a symbol of the Nes Nigla, the supernatural miracle of the oil. And this teaches us and wakes us up and inspires us and says, oh, wow, if we have the miracle of the oil, that means all of nature comes from Hashem. And we think about that all of nature, all of world events are governed by Hashem. So when a Jew sees the Nes Pach Shemen, and you see the light of the menorah, you're supposed to think about the fact Hashem governs nature, Hashem governs world events. On Hanukkah, one of our goals should be to say Modim with more Kavan. In Modim, we say, Hashem, thank you, V'yalam Nisecha Shebuchol Yom, the miracles every day. Most of us don't experience supernatural miracles every day. The word Nisecha there is referring to the hidden miracles. The fact that things run naturally. A person can walk and talk. A person's alive. A person can breathe. All aspects of nature. Thank you, Hashem, for all of those miracles. Those are all hidden miracles from Hashem. All of nature is one big hidden miracle from Hashem. Because it happens all the time, we don't focus on the fact that it's all coming from Hashem. But it all comes from Hashem. So this is one of the themes of Hanukkah, and this is captured in this Medrash. There's a beautiful gematria, which is brought down in the Svarim. I think it's brought down in the Michtam Eliyahu, that Ha-Teva is 86, equals in gematria Elokim. If you switch the kuf for the hey, that's Hashem's real name. Elokim is 86. That's beautiful. All of nature, Ha-Teva, is really a one nes nister from Hashem. So this is one shot of the connection. There are other similar gematrias. The Sfas Emes has a beautiful gematria along these lines. Yavan, Yudvav Nun, is 66. Galgal, which means the earth, is also 66. The circle of the earth is a Galgal. So the Sfas Emes says that Yavan, the Greeks, were into nature. They studied nature and they understood nature, and they understood how the world, you know, as much as they could in that time period, they understood how the world runs scientifically. And the Greeks felt that Teva and nature, understanding nature, that's what they were good at. So Yavan fits with Galgal. And the Sfas Emes says, no. There's another word that has 66, and that's Elokecha. Again, switch the kuf to the hey. Elokecha. Our belief is, no, the Galgal, the 66 of the earth, the world, is governed by Elokecha, Hashem. Hashem governs it. That's exactly the struggle. One of the struggles on Hanukkah is that the Greeks say, we worship Teva, we worship the science of nature. And we say, no, we study Teva, we study the science of nature to appreciate more of what Hashem's doing. These are Hashem's hidden miracles. Elokecha is 66. He also says another amazing gematria, that Hoya, Hove, Yihya. Those three words we always use, like that's Hashem. Hoya, Hashem was, is, will be. Hoya is 20. Yihya is 30. Hove is 16. That's 66. That's the Sfas Emes. That Galgal is 66. That's the earth. Yavan says, we're Yavan. We're 66. We have our approach to, we understand nature. We worship the natural world. Everything, what you see is what you get. And we say, no, Hashem, Elokecha, governs the world. Hayahoba Yihya, Hashem, that's Hashem, governs the world. That's the Sfas Emes' gematria regarding this point. Oh, and this idea that when you see the Nes of the Pach Shem and you appreciate that all of nature comes from Hashem, this also is the basis of one of the best answers to the most famous question about Hanukkah. The most famous question about Hanukkah is, why is Hanukkah 8 days long? The Beis Yosef asked this question around 500 years ago, that there was enough oil for one day. That means the miracle was for the next 7 days. So there were 7 days of miracles. 7 days of miracle. So the Beis Yosef says, if the miracle was only for seven days, why do we have 8 days of Hanukkah? Why not 7 days? This is a famous question with many, 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 many answers. One answer is, for 7 days we celebrate the miracle of the oil, and for one day we celebrate the miracle of the military victory. That's an answer which the Pricharish gives and others. This is a famous question. So one of the most beautiful answers quoted for this question is from Rav Simcha Zissel Mikelm. Rav Simcha Zissel says that the answer to this question is exactly what Hanukkah is all about. He says as follows. The fact that oil burns at all. Why does oil burn? Well, oil burns because it's a quality, in the chemicals and within oil, that it burns. Yeah, but what gives oil that quality? That's Hashem. In other words, when you experience the supernatural burning of the oil for the 7 days, again, Hashem can change nature. That means Hashem controls nature. That means when nature runs naturally, when oil burns normally, why is oil burning quote-unquote normally? Because Hashem's making it burn normally. So if Simcha Zissel says that when we have 7 days of celebrating the Nes Nigla, we also have an obligation to have one day of celebrating Nes Nister. The fact that the oil burned for the first day is also a miracle. We should always have this in mind. Every time we say Odin, have this in mind. But there's a special obligation to celebrate one day of Hanukkah thinking about not the miracle of the oil, the first day of burning, nature. If Hashem gives you a supernatural miracle for 7 days, this is what the Ramban says in Parshas Bo, when you see a supernatural event, then you have to wake up and realize, oh, all of nature is from Hashem. That's the beautiful approach of the Simcha Zissel. 8 days of Hanukkah, 7 days of Neis Nigla, and the first day we're celebrating Teva, that are Elokim. All of nature comes from Hashem. This is a major theme of Hanukkah, and this, as we saw, is one theme of Vayeshev and Miketz, and that's one shot of the overlap of Hanukkah and Vayeshev and Miketz. Okay. The second shot is a second shot is presented by Rav Mirsky Shlita in the Hegyone Halacha, the fabulous sefer on the Yom Tovim and Shabbos, different yonim. So he develops the following idea. On Hanukkah, we talk about in the Alei Nisim, Rabin Biad Ma'atim, and Giborim Biad Chalashim. That on Hanukkah, we were smaller in number, we were a little weaker, and we still won. That was part of the miracle of Hanukkah, that despite the fact that we were smaller in number and we were weaker, the weaker stood up to the stronger, the smaller in number stood up to the greater in number, we were able to win the war. So he said that if you go through Vayeshev and Miketz, this theme of the Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, the Giborim Biad Chaloshim, comes up over and over again. For example, in Yosef's dreams. So Yosef's dream was like a nevuah about the future, and he says 11 are bowing down to 1. That's an example of Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, that the majority are bowing down to the minority. When Paro dreamed, in Paro's dream, the 7 strong cows are consumed by the 7 thin cows. That's an example of Giborim Biad Chaloshim, that the weaker are in a sense consuming and beating the strong. Well, Reuven stands up to his brothers. The brothers want to kill Yosef. Reuven says, no, don't kill him. We'll throw him into the pit instead. That's an example. Reuven stood up. He stood up. He was the minority. He stood up to his brothers in order that Yosef shouldn't be killed. And of course, the main example of this, which comes up over, and this is really one of the main themes of Vayeshev and Miketz. Where do we see in Vayeshev and Miketz, we see Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, we see one person by himself standing up against the majority. Where do we see it? Yosef. This is Yosef in Mitzrayim. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. He is the only person in Mitzrayim who believes in Hashem. The only one. All of Mitzrayim, they believe in whatever their forms of Avodah Zarah was. Whatever their forms of Avodah Zarah were. And Yosef believes in Hashem. He doesn't just believe in Hashem. He talks about it. He keeps on talking about it. And Yosef says, Paro says to Yosef, I want you to decipher the dreams. Yosef says, no. Hashem is the one who deciphers the dreams. And over again, when Yosef talks to Paro, he keeps on mentioning the name Elohim. It's very striking. Yosef is alone in Mitzrayim. No one else believes in Hashem. And Yosef, Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, he's by himself. And he keeps on pushing. No, Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world. Yosef is standing up alone. Yosef in Mitzrayim is almost similar to what Avraham Avinu did, by himself against the whole world. This is Yosef in Mitzrayim. Rav Mirsky quotes the Psukim in Gracious Perek Mem Aleph, when Yosef is talking to Paro. So Yosef says, Biladai, Elokim Yanesh Shalom Paro. It's not me. Hashem's going to answer what's going to happen to Paro. And again, Yosef says, Eis Asher Elokim Oseh Higid L'Faro. Again, so this is all in Perek Mem Aleph. Yosef says, Asher Elokim Oseh Hara Es Paro. And the next pasuk, Nachan Adav Ramim Helokim, Umeher Elokim Lasoso. Yosef keeps on pushing. I believe in God. I believe in Hashem. And he keeps on talking about it in front of Paro. He's by himself. This is an example of Rabbi Biad Ma'atim. When you have the emes, when you know what's right, what's true, you stick to your guns. You stick to your opinion. This is Yosef. Yosef knew the emes was on his side. He believed in Hashem. And despite the fact that nobody believed in Hashem and heard about Hashem and thought about Hashem in Mitzrayim, he's talking to the king. He keeps on pushing Hashem. This is a beautiful example of Rabbim Biad Ma'atim. And Rav Mirsky said this might be the overlap between Chanukah and these parshas. Rav Mirsky quotes here, there's a story that's brought down in a lot of Sfarim in the name of Gedolim. He brings it down in the name of Rav Yonatan Eichitz from the 1700s. At different times in history, so the the non-Jewish religious leaders would demand to have a debate, to argue, you know, about religion, to argue, you know, the Jewish religion versus a different religion. And you'd have these different debates, and some of them were written down. The Ramban had a famous debate. So he quotes here that once Gerson was having a debate with one of the non-Jewish leaders, and the person said, "Look, your Torah says, the Bible says, the Torah says, in Shmos Perek Kaf Gimel, Acher Adam Lahatos, you follow the majority. So we're the majority, and you're the minority. So from your own Chumash, it shows you should follow us. We're the majority. The Jews are always the minority." That was the claim made to Rabbi Yonasan Eichfried. So Rabbi Yonasan gave the wonderful answer. And he said, it's true you follow the majority. When do you follow the majority? When there's a doubt. When you're not, there's a court case and it's unclear, how do you paskin the case? Maybe this, maybe that. Reuven and Shimon are having a court case. Reuven has evidence, Shimon has evidence. You're not sure who's right. So sometimes the judges will argue, the Anim argue. So you follow the majority. When you have a suffix, when you have a doubt, then you follow the majority. Here there's no doubt. We know we have the MS. Beautiful. We know when you know you have the MS, you don't follow the majority when you know the minority is correct. So that was Rabbi Yonasan's answer. Acharad Mahatos doesn't apply when it comes to our Amunah. We know we have the MS. So this is one of the themes of Hanukkah. When a Jew looks at the Ner Hanukkah, he should be reminded of the truths of Yahadus and strengthen our commitment to stick to the truth despite the fact that we're the minority, despite the fact that the majority of the world has these influences trying to undermine Torah Judaism. No. The Ner Chanukah symbolizes Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. Even though we're the minority, we might be physically weaker, but we have the MS, and we stick to the MS. This is just like what we saw in Mitzrayim, and this is what Yosef did in Mitzrayim. That's what's happening in Chanukah. You see the Ner Chanukah? We should strengthen our commitments to the truths of Judaism, through the truths of Yadus, and we're going to stick to our position despite the majority of the world being against us. This is the second theme of Hanukkah, which blends in very well to the Parshios of Vayeshev and Mikias. Okay. Then there's a third approach. This third approach is based on the Sichos Musar of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz Hatzav. It's Sichos Musar Maimer Tez Zayin. Rav Shmuel Levitz there quotes the following Medrash. Yosef is sold into slavery, heading to Mitzrayim with the Yishma'elim, the Medonim, the Midonim, the Yishma'elim. And it says in Yalkut Shimoni, in Bracious Kuf Mem Beis, it says, the Chazal tell us that the Yishma'elim that Yosef was with when he was going down to Mitzrayim, they were selling spices. So there was a sweet smell when Yosef was going to Mitzrayim. Yosef might be in chains. Yosef is, like, in a sense, in a jail on his way down to Mitzrayim. But there's a sweet-smelling spices. The Medrash says it's not the norm. Normally, this group of Yishmaelim, they sold skins that smelled and had a foul smell. But here, the sweet smell of spices. That's the Medrash. And Chazal say, yeah, that Hashem was doing, like, in a sense, a favor to Yosef. He's going into slavery, but he's with the sweet smell of spices. So Shmuel Levitz asks, this is at first glance, this Medrash is very strange as in striking. Yosef, he is in trouble. He's going down to Mitzrayim. He doesn't understand his future. He doesn't understand what's happening here. His brothers are against him. He's into slavery. He's in the deepest darkness of his life. It really matters to Yosef that he has a sweet smell of spices. That's going to comfort him somehow. Look, his whole future is—he doesn't understand anything about his future. The most terrifying part of his life. And how exactly did the smell of spices help anything? So Shmuel Levitz answers, no, exactly. Yosef understood if this strange thing is happening, that Hashem worked it out, that there's a sweet smell of spices. This shows. Shmuel Levitz explains that this shows Yosef that Hashem has not abandoned him, chas v'shalom. Somehow it's all part of Hashem's plan. Hashem's watching out for Yosef. There must be a reason Yosef would think to himself why he's in chains going down to Mitzrayim, or why he's, I don't know if he's in chains literally, but why he's going down to Mitzrayim as a slave. There must be a reason. But he's not abandoned by Hashem. Look at this miracle that Hashem did. This coincidental, quote-unquote, miracle. It's not a coincidence. Hashem gives him the sweet smell of spices. Hashem has not abandoned me. Hashem still has his love for me. Rav Shmulevitz says, a beautiful shot. He says, this miracle that Hashem did, that those sweet smell of spices, this is like a neshika, a kiss from Hashem to Yosef. And the Sichus Musar develops that there are different times in Tanakh where Hashem does miracles that don't appear to be quote-unquote necessary. Like here, this wasn't necessary. Yosef didn't need this miracle of spices instead of the foul smell of the skins. So why does Hashem do these miracles? For this reason, just to show that he loves Yosef. Here, Yosef's not being abandoned. This is the pshat in the Medrash that the Medrash says that Yosef was zocha to have the sweet smell, this kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Chaim says that this is a parallel to like the love of a parent to a child. A parent doesn't just want his child to do okay. He wants to get what's best for his child. Does even beyond what's necessary. By doing beyond what's necessary, that shows, that expresses the extra love, the extra care a parent has for a child. On Hanukkah, the nes of the Pach Shemen was not, quote-unquote, necessary. For several reasons. The nes of the war was necessary. We're in trouble. We're going to be killed. So Hashem watches over the Jewish people, and Hashem did the nes nister, and he allowed us to win the war. The nes of the Pach Shemen wasn't necessary on two levels. Number one, we don't find, this point Rav Shmulevitz makes, and also it's already in the Maharal. The Maharal and in his Peirush on the Agadata, in Masechta Shabbos, where it discusses Hanukkah, the Maharal points out, the miracle of the oil was just to allow us to do a mitzvah. Let's say the miracle of the oil didn't happen. So we wouldn't have done the mitzvah. Okay, so we start learning the menorah 8 days later. You know, in other words, when the Yevanim controlled the base of Mikdash, we didn't light the menorah then. So just like we didn't light the menorah when they, so we went to light the menorah for the next 8 days. You don't find, the Maharal says, miracles just to allow us to perform a mitzvah. So the miracle was, in a sense, unnecessary. Why did Hashem do this miracle? Just to let us do a mitzvah, to save our life, I understand. But what about the miracle of the oil? The miracle of the oil was like Yosef having the sweet smell of spices. It shows Hashem's extra care, his extra love for us. That's the miracle of the oil. The miracle of the oil was unnecessary for another reason, a halachic reason. There's a din that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, this is, or Dechuya or Hutra B'Tzibur, the Pnei Yoshua on the Gemara and Shabbos, I don't know if the first one, he's one of he raised this point that if all the Kohanim are Tameh and there's no way to get Tahor oil, you're allowed to light Tameh oil. That's a rule that if everyone's Tameh, the whole Tzibur is Tameh, there's no way to get oil that's Tahor, you can use the oil that's Tameh. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, why do we need the miracle at all? The answer is we didn't need the miracle. We could have lit the menorah with the tamei oil. Hashem wanted to give us a chance to do the mitzvah in the very, very best way, with oil that's tahor, and therefore Hashem did the nes of the Pach Shemen. The nes of the Pach Shemen shows Hashem wanted us to not just do the mitzvah in the basic way, in the b'di'evid way, but rather in the very best way. So again, the miracle of oil wasn't really necessary. Why did Hashem do it? The miracle shows that Hashem loves His people. The miracle of the nes Pach Shemen was like a kiss from Hashem to Am Yisrael, just like the quote-unquote coincidence when Hashem had Yosef go to Mitzrayim with the sweet smell of spices. This is a beautiful, beautiful overlap between the parshios of Vayeshev and Miketz and the and Hanukkah. In Vayeshev and Miketz, over and over again, Hashem shows Yosef, I'm with you. Even though you're having tzaras, I'm with you. I care about you. I love you. That's what happened on Hanukkah. The nes of the military victory, in a sense, was necessary for Am Yisrael. The nes of the oil was extra. It's like a parent to a child, giving a child something extra to show that special love. So according to this approach, when a Jew looks at the Neiros Chanukah, he should think about the special love Hashem has for His people. And we should be more besimcha in our knowledge of Hashem's love for us. This is a major theme of Hanukkah. You see the Ner Hanukkah. The Ner Hanukkah symbolizes, what does Ner Hanukkah symbolize? Hashem giving a kiss. This is the language of the Sichos Musar. A kiss to his people, this extra special love. That's a third theme of Hanukkah, which blends in and overlaps very beautifully with the Parashios of Vayeshev and Mikins. Oh. Then there's a fourth pshat. This fourth pshat actually is a little new in a sense. It just appeared in the writings of Rav Nevensal Shlita. Rav Nevensal is the Rav of the Old City, and the Talmud of Rosh Hashanah Zamen Arbach. So in the last few years, his family has been publishing his Divrei Torah in Halacha and Hashkafa and Musar on the various Yom Tovim. The series of Sfarim is called Yerushalayim B'Moadeh. Yerushalayim B'Moadeh. They published on Pesach, on Shavuos, on the 3 weeks. And now they're starting to publish on Shabbos. They put out the first volume. And Bez Hashem, there will be more volumes coming out as well. So Rabbi Nevensal there develops the following idea. A very, very beautiful connection between these parashios and Hanukkah. Yosef was thrown into the pit. He was thrown into a pit. Chazal tell us that there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So Yosef was in trouble. And then Yosef was miraculously saved. He wasn't killed by the snakes and scorpions. And he was saved from the pit, and he went down to Mitzrayim, and everything followed from there. What was the special zechus that Yosef had, that he was able to be saved from the pit? What was his zechus? So Rav Nevensal develops the theme that Yosef's special midah, Yosef's special zechus, was what we discussed earlier in the Yoni Halacha, that Yosef constantly spoke about Hashem and spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was in Mitzrayim. Well, Rav Nevensal writes, Yosef was Nitzah. Why? B'schus mahu Nitzah. B'schus heyoso mefarsem es hashkachas Hashem bebriya. Yosef publicized Hashem's hashkacha in the Bria. First of all, adeh halom hashem. His dreams are like a nevuah. So Yosef is saying, look, I'm having these dreams, it's like a nevuah, and as these things came to be, so if Hashem gives you a nevuah, and then it happens, I feel Hashem's running the world. So Yosef's dreams were part of that. Then he goes on. He says, when he was in Beis Potiphar, when he was in Beis Hasoar, in Eitz Oparo, Kimshich Lefarsem Hashkachas Hashem, he was always publicizing Hashem's Hashkacha. The base Potiphar, what does Yosef say? Vayara donav ki Hashem ito. Potiphar's noticed that Hashem is with Yosef. How? They didn't believe in these things. The answer is Yosef kept on saying, Be'ezus Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Al kol devar amir Yosef, Be'ezus Hashem, B'shem Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Hakol talav b'hashkafas Hashem. Yosef keeps on talking about Hashem. So Yosef trained his master to believe that his success and the success of in Potiphar's house since Yosef arrived is because of Hashem. That's what the Torah says. Then he's in jail. And the Sar Ha'ofim, the Sar Ha'mashkim, turn to Yosef and help us with the dreams. What does Yosef say? Halo le'elokim pitronim. Hashem is the one who deciphers all the dreams. That's in Bereishis Perek Mem. The fact that Yosef was able to give the exact deciphering of the dreams is because Hashem is helping him. Oh, then later with Paro, when he talks again, this we saw earlier when he talks to Paro. Well, Yosef says, "Biladai, it's not for me." Elokim yaneh shalom Paro. Yosef's midah was number one. He believed in Hashkacha. He believed Hashem runs the world. He believed Hashem helped him in everything that he was doing. That's Yosef's midah. And, even more important, he publicized it. He spoke about it. Every chance he had, Yosef told people and spread the fact that Hashem governs Hashkacha. So when you think about it from this angle, And again, this seems so simple, but it's beautiful. Yosef in Mitzrayim was involved in Pirsumei Nisa. He was publicizing miracles. He wasn't publicizing Nes Nigla. He wasn't publicizing supernatural miracles. He was publicizing Nes Nister. Hashem governs everything. You have a dream. The world's running a certain way. It's all from Hashem. It's all from Hashem. It's all governed by Hashem. Yosef was saying, everything that happens, whatever happens in Potiphar's house, that now business is doing well, it seems natural. No. Be'ez Hashem, it comes from Hashem. Getting out of jail with dreams, Hashem is the one who helps decipher the dreams. In front of Paro, Hashem is the one who runs everything. Hashem has a plan for Mitzrayim, 7 years of the Sova and the Rav. So Yosef spent his career in Mitzrayim involved in publicizing miracles. He was publicizing Hashkachas Hashem. He was publicizing Nes Nister. So Rav Neven Saul says, exactly, that's Chanukah. What do we do on Chanukah? We publicize miracles. When we're first saying the days, on Chanukah we publicize the miracle of the military victory, but primarily we're publicizing the miracle with the candles of the Nes Pach Shemen. So Rav Neven Saul writes that Chazal learned from Yosef, you're supposed to publicize miracles. Imarim she Yosef lo rak ma'amin b'ashkachas Hashem, el mishtado gam lefarsem zos, zu rayah she neis sarich lefarsem. We have to publicize miracles. So Yosef's career in Mitzrayim, by Yeshev and Miketz, it becomes a source for the entire concept that we should publicize miracles. Hashem has something special, make it public. In Yosef's case, it was publicizing Hashkacha, publicizing Nes Nister, that all from Hashem, and by us, by the Pach Shemen, publicizing the miracles of the Pach Shemen of the oil. A beautiful, very deep connection. In other words, the idea seems very straightforward. That Yosef, once you hear it, it's very strong. Yosef was involved in publicizing miracles. That's what we do on Chanukah. Yosef publicized Nes Nister, and we're publicizing Nes Nigla. Rav Neven Saul uses this to explain a connection between... There's a famous question. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses Chanukah for several pages. And in the middle of the discussion of Chanukah, the Gemara mentions the Maamar Chazal, which Rashi quotes, that the pit that Yosef was thrown into was empty, habor reik, but Chazal say, the Torah says, it's empty and ein bo mayim, doesn't have water. Well, obviously, if it's empty, there's no water. So Chazal say, it's teaching us, it wasn't totally empty, it was mostly empty, ein bo mayim, but there were nechashim in our coven, there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So that's mentioned in the middle of a discussion of Chanukah. Right before that in the Gemara, the Gemara quotes the halacha that an Ner Chanukah above 20 amos is pasul. If it's too high, you're not going to really see it. It's out of your normal range of vision, then it's pasul. Ner Chanukah is supposed to be within the normal range of vision. Okay. So, what is the connection of these two statements in the Gemara? That's a famous question. What is this statement about the Borek, Ein Bo Mayim, doing in the discussion of Chanukah? Right after it says, a Ner Chanukah is too tall, it's not good for the mitzvah. So Rav Neven Saul thinks that this approach might be an explanation. Yosef was in the pit with the snakes and scorpions. Rav Neven Saul explains why dafka, this is very deep, why dafka snakes and scorpions? We know that the nachash symbolizes lashon hara. The nachash spoke lashon hara in a sense about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, the nachash said to Chava, that the reason why Hashem doesn't want you to eat from this tree is because he's jealous that if you eat from this tree, then you'll be like Hashem. So the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara. My students pointed out, really the Nachash spoke was Motzi Shema, because it wasn't true. But okay, because I'll call it Lashon Hara. And we know that the Nachash is a symbol of Lashon Hara. Rashi refers to this. When Hashem's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu and about going to Mitzrayim to take on the shlichus of taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim, so at first Moshe says, they're not going to believe me. So Hashem thought that was Lashon Hara that Moshe said about Am Yisrael. So one of the signs Hashem gave to Moshe was, he threw down a stick, it turned into a snake.
Why dafka a snake? So Rashi says, based on the Medrash, that Moshe had taken on the midah of the snake. Moshe had spoken Lashon Hara about Am Yisrael. So the snake is linked up to Lashon Hara. Nevin Saul says that the mistake that Yosef made was he brought the Dibra to his father. Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about the other brothers. The Mefarshim explained what Yosef was thinking and why he did it. The Chavetz Chaim points out in a Sefer that despite the fact that Yosef was a great tzaddik and Yosef tried to say this in the very, very best way, still somehow the Torah and Chazal are showing us that somehow there was a smidgen there of Lashon Hara from Yosef. That's where Rav Nebenzal quotes based on Chazal. So that's why Rav Nebenzal says when Yosef's in the pit, in a sense, it fits that it's snakes and scorpions. Yosef fit with the Nachash, the Lashon Hara. So why was Yosef saved? He was saved because that's the context. He was saved because he was going to publicize Hashem's name and that Hashem runs the world and pursue Nisa of Nes Nisim. So that's why, that's the connection of the two Gemaras. A Ner Chanukah that's too tall doesn't really publicize the miracle. So if it's too tall, you're not publicizing the miracle. Yosef in the pit, why was Yosef saved? Because he was publicizing the miracle. The miracle of Hashkafas Hashem. So there's a connection between Yosef being in the pit and being saved from the pit, and the idea of publicizing the miracles of Hanukkah. And Rav Nebenzal says that might be an explanation of the connection of this, of these two Mamari Chazal, about Yosef being in the pit, and an Ner Chanukah that's too tall is not good for Ner Chanukah. That's a fourth explanation of the linkage between the Vayeshev and Miketz and Chanukah. But we see that in our Chanukah, we say to ourselves, our job is to publicize Hashem does the miracles. Talk about that Hashem does Neis Nigla, Hashem does Neis Nister. This is the fourth theme of Chanukah. Okay. One final approach, I think this might be a good connection, overlap between Vayeshev and Miketz and Chanukah is the following idea. The Greeks were a strong country. They controlled a big part of the world. And they're gone. Greek culture you find in history books. And the Torah approach to life, we're still here. And we're keeping the Torah and guarding our Masorah like we have in the Zman of the Yavanim. So one theme of Hanukkah is that when you stick with the Masorah, And you stay with Hashem and the Masorah and Avodas Hashem, Am Yisrael is surviving. One theme of Chanukah is the miracle of Am Yisrael's survival. The Yavanim, the great nation of the Greeks, and they controlled so much of the world, and now they're gone. So Vayeshev and Miketz begins the Torah's description of the great empire of Mitzrayim. And the Torah talks about power was in control and power was the leader. And Yosef's in jail, and Paro's running everything. The Torah is describing for us this great Egyptian nation, Egyptian empire. And yet, it's gone now. It's in the history books. But Yosef, and the Shvatim, and the Masorah, we're all still here. So I think that when you think about it, this miracle of Jewish survival, that we are still here, we are keeping the Masorah, and we're serving Hashem, and all of these great nations, which at one point or another were strong and powerful, their culture is in history books. This is one of the themes of Hanukkah, and this applies between us and the Greeks, and this applies between us and the Egyptians. There's a very famous essay written by Mark Twain in 1899, where he makes this point, and he happens to mention the Egyptians and the Greeks. So I'll read part of his essay. If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous, dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names of literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in the world in all the ages and has done it with his hands high behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Romans followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burnt out. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? The answer is our connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem made a bris that we keep the Torah, and Hashem's going to guard, keep us going and guard over us and keep us and let us survive throughout history. So this idea, the miracle of Jewish survival, that all of these great nations come and go, and their cultures come and go, but we remain, that's one of the themes, one of the major themes of Hanukkah, and that also was one of the themes of Vayeshev and Miketz. Egypt, Mitzrayim, the whole world, they're the most powerful nation in the world. Paro ended up owning, came out the whole world. And the wealth, tremendous, the tremendous wealth that Paro had. And now it's all gone, but we're still here. This is a fifth explanation, a connection of the overlap between Hanukkah and these parshas. So just to briefly review, nothing in Yadus is by chance. Hanukkah falls out at this time of year, by Yeshev, Miketz. Why? What's the connection? One explanation is the first Medrash in Miketz, that things that appear to be natural are governed by Hashem. World events are governed by Hashem. Paro's dream was in order for Yosef, the cause is Yosef leaving Mitzrayim, and the effect was Paro's dream. Paro's dream was part of the plan to bring Yosef out of Mitzrayim. Yosef, out of jail. Yosef didn't leave jail because of the dream. Paro had the dream because Yosef needed to be out of jail at that time, according to Hashem's plan. And that's one of the themes of Hanukkah. Events that appear to be natural are governed by Hashem. The war and the burning of the oil, we discussed that at some length. The approach of Adyone Halacha, Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. Yosef's in Mitzrayim, the truth is on his side. He keeps on talking about Hashem. He's alone. He keeps talking about Hashem. When the emes is with you, you can win even when you're in the Ma'atim, the few. And that's the theme of Hanukkah, of Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. When you're with the emes, when there's no suffix, then even if the majority is against you, you still win the debate when there's no suffix. A third approach, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, the Sichos Musar, that Hashem in Mitzrayim showed Yosef despite the difficulties. Hashem loves Yosef. He cares about Yosef. He's with Yosef. He does for Yosef an extra, quote-unquote, unnecessary miracle, that Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim with the sweet smell of spices. That's Hanukkah. Hashem does miracles for us that are, in a sense, extra, unnecessary. The miracle of the Parshana wasn't necessary. Hashem did it for us anyway. He chose Hashem's love for the Jewish people. The fourth approach, Rav Evansol's approach, Yosef in Mitzrayim is publicizing miracles, publicizing Hashkachas Hashem, that Hashem runs the world. We on Hanukkah have to publicize the miracle of the Nes Parshana and of the military victory. And a fifth approach, a fifth connection, is the idea of the eternity of the Jew, the everlasting Yadus. We're still here. We're still here, and the Yavanim are not. The Greek culture is the history books. We're still here, and the Egyptian culture is in history books. What is the secret of the immortality of the Jew? The secret is that we stick with Hashem and we're with the Torah and Avodah Hashem with the Masorah, and this allows us to continue to survive despite what all the other nations are doing. The other nations come and go. The other cultures, the other strong cultures, come and go. But Am Yisrael always remains. There's a fifth connection between Vayeshev Miketz and Hanukkah. Okay, well, we'll stop here.